that's right in on this. You need to find a firm to trust, a friendly face that understands you. So many people turn to us, hurt on the job or injured on the highway. If you want results, there's only one way. Experience what makes us different. Let us prove we're always here for you. We know the law, we know our practice. The legal team that's tried and true. Here for you. We've over 20 years in business. We know what's right, we'll fight for you. Call us 620-300. We're here to help you through. Because at Gurnett & Fumazzo, we're always here for you. Call us 620-300. Gurnett & Fumazzo, we're always here for you.
Now, the most live local talk with the Gerben and Ferlazzo Law Show.
And welcome, everyone. This is Sal Ferlazzo here with Tara Malflett. Hello, Tara.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning to you, and good morning to everyone. On a spring day, 40 degrees around here is spring, in my book. this is the Gerben and Ferlazzo Law Show. We have a special edition today. Tara and I are rarely together, and it's kind of nice to be able to do it. And we have a special guest, a quiet guest in the room here. My wife has decided to come and watch us do the show, and we may even let her speak a little bit. We've never allowed that to occur, but shaking her head.
It's hard for her to get in a word
no.
edgewise around you, Sal,
well,
so I understand.
We're going somewhere later, so I decided, come on in, why don't you come into the studio? It's only been 10 years, and she's never been here. So what the heck? Might as well take a look and see what it's like. This is the Gerben and Ferlazzo Law Show. That was my son Donald, our son Donald, who sings our theme song. Our number, 476-1300. That's 518-476-1300. We are here for the next hour or so. It's less than an hour with all the news and everything, and we're going to chat, as we usually do, about general topics. I see in the paper today, Tara, that a court challenge is in the works against the GOP tax plan. Apparently, three Democratic governors are trying to say that there's a violation of state rights because of the fiscal toll. And you can give us your opinion on that. I have an opinion, and I'll express it as we go through the show. Unless we have a lot of callers, then you never even have to hear about my opinion. other topics for today. We got involved in some accident issues that occurred, auto accidents with the recent bad weather, serious ones, and things that you should do and not do when that occurs. And that ties into insurance as well. I keep on harping on under insurance and the need to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying it so often. My son, Donald, the guy who sings that song you just heard, has decided to start an insurance agency. So he'll be starting an Allstate agency up in Clifton Park. And you'll be hearing more about that as time goes along. I think he'll be an advertiser here. Maybe he and Paul can chat. But it's a really important topic that I've been harping on for years. And it's never more important because the minimum insurance you purchase or other people purchase is $25,000. And that's not enough to cover anything. It doesn't cover a year's salary. It doesn't cover anything.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you're really exposing yourself by not getting obtaining on your own, which is very inexpensive insurance. It's called supplemental underinsured. So we're going to chat about that. I did a closing this week, and went very well yesterday, at Trusco, actually. They do a great job with their closings, very quick and easy, and, it was a pleasure. And we've been interviewing. Tara's been interviewing, as have I, and, hopefully we're going to be expanding at Gerben and Ferlazzo. What do you think, Tara?
I'm very excited about that prospect.
Oh, yeah, especially because that person will be working with you directly.
Well,
so,
yes, absolutely.
The big smile has come out, like, yeah, I'm going to get some help, which is sorely needed. Tara is a very hardworking young attorney, and we all work hard at the firm, and we try to work hard here with you guys. So jump on the phone, 518-476-1300, here on Talk 1300 AM, and 97.8 FM. So it's exciting to have them both. We hope you can hear us well. And we're going to be chatting on just various topics. Try not to give us the names of any entities. We don't want to embarrass or defame anyone and there's usually two or three sides to every question. So
only lawyers use terms like defame.
Yeah, well, defame is defamation. It's trashing somebody when something is false. You've all said that's defamation or that's not defamation. Defamation itself is very tricky. We've been handling those cases as well. Most times I don't even bring them in the door. People will want to do it, and they'll want to do it on a contingency, and I tell them the damages ability is so low that we can only do it on an hourly rate. So don't call us and ask us to consider defamation, because normally people who are important enough to be defamed are public figures, or it's against a newspaper, which is a higher burden, the New York Times standard, of reckless disregard of the truth or knowledge of falsity. So the odds of winning a defamation case are extraordinarily low. If you do have a serious case, you can call us at the office at 518-462-0300. We'd be happy to chat and go over issues that are serious and significant. But on the weekend, we chat about various topics of just general interest, curiosity, or what's in the paper, or even what's happening. So how was your week this week, Tara?
My week has been good. I had a Social Security hearing that went very well, and we got a decision on the record, which is always nice. It gives the claimant
right on the spot.
Gives the claimant the certainty of knowing that everything has gone in the right direction. And, it's always nice when you can provide that kind of assurance for clients. It's a very nerve-wracking process, very similar to when you're doing personal injury cases. But I see we have a caller. We have Mike Connors.
Mike Connors. So Mike, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good, Mike.
I apologize for my voice, so I'll make two comments, and then I'll get off to listen. But I think you're talking about supplemental uninsured motorists should be added to additional no-fault coverage. Those two coverages might cost $18 a year and will make all the difference in the world. I was a property and casualty agent for 25 years, and we had probably 600-700 accidents a year. I can't tell you how many times we had problems with people seriously injured when somebody had the minimum limits. So I think it's a great topic. I'm glad you're doing that. One last thing. Do you care to comment on the possibility of having municipal solid waste flow control passed by the county? My understanding in the old days, that was the only entity that could pass that. And if you're familiar with that, great. If not, well, then I guess I'll have to pay somebody to get free advice.
Well, you will have to pay someone. We'll chat about a little bit about flow control. I know years ago, Mike, we were involved. I think it was there was the Rensselaer Solid Waste Management Authority, and there was a lot of controversy about flow and what you could do, and that was a not-for-profit, but it wasn't countywide. I think certainly trash is an issue which should be on a countywide basis because what happens, it's like every town, and I've done a lot of municipal law, as you know, over the years. Every town, you know, wants to get rid of the garbage, but they don't want to take it. So you need a larger agency that's looking at all the issues and going through SECR. Is there anything on the horizon at the county?
I think you know, and again, to give you a plug, you did a tremendous job for us on our lawsuit about the Colony Landfill being given away.
Well, thank you.
Now the city of Albany is looking to do the same thing, and one of the dangers that we face is that you'll have this tied up by a – Yeah, you know, I believe me, I was a private sector guy. Profit's a great thing.
Sure.
Even a capitalist system. But solid waste is far too important for us to leave it to for it to be controlled by one entity. And with the Albany Landfill soon to be closed, that's a huge issue. My thought on this, and I've talked about this for years, as you know, if we passed a countywide solid waste flow control legislation similar to what was done in some other counties in the late 90s, we could actually recycle between 80 and 90% of all the municipal solid waste that exists out there. Yeah, it's a little more expensive than it is to bury it, but the long-term costs of burying solid waste are enormous. Eventually, there's going to be problems in the Mohawk because of the Colony Landfill.
Sure.
And eventually, there's going to be issues with methane and other gases escaping from the Albany Landfill. So it's a much more intelligent way to deal with this long-term problem, I believe, to look at a serious recycling program, which could be done on a countywide basis, and then you would bid out the operation of it, you know, every 5 or 6 years, something like that. But I think it's very appropriate that we look at this. And with that disposal of the Albany landfill coming up, in the next couple of months, I think it's something that bears discussion.
Well, it really does, and we have guests on at different times. Maybe we'll have some of the environmental lawyers who are part of that battle, and we can chat about that. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call.
By the way, have the people from Waste Connections, the people that are trying to monopolize waste in the area, have one of their people on, too. You'll have a good debate then.
Oh, yeah, we like to go both sides. It gives a better feel for everything. So, Mike, have a great day. Nice to chat. That's Mike Connors. Everybody knows Mike from all his legislative work, and I did represent Michael and some other people relating to the Colony landfill years ago as to whether it was a lease versus a operating agreement. And the courts determined that, without really looking in too deeply, that it was an operating agreement, not a lease, and that was technically important for what procedures had to be followed. But it was funny because like 6 months ago, it was an article, and everybody kept on talking about it like a lease. Like, it's a lease. So I guess it became a lease after the lawsuit. In any event, any more callers? 476-1300, who do we have next?
We have Liz from East Greenbush, who apparently has some question about disability.
Well, I'm glad you called, because this is what Tara does. So thanks for calling, Liz.
Thank you. I didn't think about it until she mentioned that she did it. Hi, Tara.
Hi, Liz. How are you?
Good, thanks. Is it wise for a person who's applying for disability because of a back problem to ride a motorcycle?
Well, I would say, generally speaking, any kind of behavior that might potentially aggravate the injury is something that could raise questions. I mean, again, whether or not your back is going to be impacted is really something for you to discuss with a doctor. I would say, if you're applying for disability benefits, the most important thing that you need to be aware of is to document the medical treatment and compliance with treatment, and if your doctor has rendered an opinion about motorcycle riding, to follow whatever that recommendation might be. When it comes to, back injury or other injuries related to pain, they're going to look at a number of different factors. One is, does it restrict your activities of daily living? Two, they would also look at the extent and nature of the types of activities you can perform. If you are complaining or indicating that you're unable to sit or remain in a fixed position for an extended period of time, but then when your question the judge asks and you mention that, you rode your motorcycle, 2.5 hours on the weekend, it's going to raise a possible question of credibility. Now, again, there are a number of factors. It could be that was just happened to be a unique day where you were feeling well, but generally speaking, you're going to look to establish the nature of the disability is across all areas, across all functioning, and so you want to make sure that your day-to-day actions and what is reported is consistent with what your treatment is and what your pain factor is.
Exactly. You said it so well. It's not for myself, but it is for a relative, and that was my thought has been, if you say you can't sit, you can't stand at a desk job, then how do you go drive in a motorcycle? I'm sorry,
not easy, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
If you can't sit, I've had back problems, and they're better now, but you can't even sit in anything when you have, severe
right.
back problems.
Well, and one of the things when you're looking at Social Security disability, they do what, for adult disability cases, they do a five-factor analysis. The first is, you have a medically determinable impairment, meaning do you have a physical or mental diagnosis that potentially could impact your ability to work? The second question is it severe? And severity is going to be measured based on information and documentation, whether it's x-rays, MRI, CT, medical assessment or examination, clinical determinations. And then the next question is, does it meet or equal a listed impairment? Social Security breaks down the body by system, and they have 14 different categories. And within each category, they have breakup of the kind or nature of impairments that may otherwise make it difficult for you to work. So, for example, under neurological. There's a section on seizures. There's, you know, sections on other kinds of neurological impairments that may impede motion, physical activity, and or cognitive performance. So within those categories, if you can meet or equal a listing based on the documentation, you would be potentially eligible for disability benefits. If you may not meet or equal a listing exactly, which just basically means they have specific things that they look for in the evidence. If you don't meet it exactly, it doesn't mean that the case is done. They then go to, what about your nature or of your injury? Would it potentially limit your ability to perform what they call past relevant work, which is basically any kind of job that you've ever held. And that can be jobs from when you were much younger and perhaps less educated and or experienced to what you most recently performed. If you are able to perform those past relevant jobs, even though they may not be at the same level that you were performing, that potentially could work against you. On the other hand, if you cannot perform that, then they go to the fifth and final step in the assessment, which is whether or not you are able to secure employment in another area based on your years, your education, and your experience, and the limitations caused by your disability. If the answer to that is no, then you would be eligible to receive disability benefits. That's where having an attorney understanding what you need to do and those steps that you need to meet can be particularly helpful, because you need to be able to establish the extent and nature of your disability. And sometimes you don't understand what factors are being reviewed, so you may need to make sure that you're communicating specific issues or concerns to your physician. Oftentimes we feel pressured as soon as you get into the doctor's office to just highlight the most significant issue, and other factors, pain, fatigue, and other issues that may limit you don't always come up. And so if you're looking to pursue disability benefits, understanding the regulations and how they review disability cases is important to being able to successfully apply and receive benefits in those cases.
Right. Chase, thank you very much, Tara.
Well, thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
And if you have any follow-up questions, Tara does this, and she does it very well. She's almost an encyclopedia around the office. Well, I ask a question. Like, I was over this bridge, you know, on the way back from, I don't know, down south, and all of a sudden she knew like the exact spans of the bridge. Remember that day we were having lunch? Oh yeah, it's 1,663 feet. It's like, she's better than Google.
My dad was a big history buff, so it was always important not just to know the information, but to know the history, who designed it, who came up with it, why it was put in place, and everything.
And speaking of history, for those of you who don't know, Gervin and Fralazzo started in 1991. A lot of us had worked at O'Connell and Aronowitz, and then we spun off in 91. And we started what was known as Roberti Gervin and Fralazzo. And Mike, in 2001, went down south to practice in Georgia with his wife. We became Gervin and Fralazzo, and we started the radio show just about at that time, in 2001, and we've been practicing law ever since. Currently, we're at 20 Corporate Woods in Albany, New York, and we focus on litigation. We're a litigation-heavy firm, personal injury, commercial litigation, municipal. Private labor and litigation, and then the base of our firm is education and school law. Tara does special education as well as education, and we do some real estate, and I do mediation, which is a fun thing. And we were interviewing people who were interested in mediation. I have a mediation coming up this week, and a high profile one coming up in a couple of weeks, which I hope to get rid of a case, which Paul will probably talk about after I get rid of it. So we have a lot of mediation going on. So the number here is 518-476-1300. We have any more callers?
Not at the time.
Okay,
so
good.
So you get to take over.
We get to take over. You have 3 minutes? Okay. Well, since we have a few minutes, I did want to comment on, you know, what the front page of the newspaper has. It says court challenge for a GOP tax plan. Apparently, there's three states that feel there's
New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
A very strong argument that the bill is a fundamental violation of state rights. Apparently, they don't have a theory yet, but they think there's a strong argument that it's a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. And the Equal Protection Clause does protect unequal treatment in certain cases, but not all. Mm-hmm. And it really depends on the level of scrutiny. If you're at a suspect class, you know, age, sex, and different ways, it's almost impossible to win those because the bar is set so high. But the normal issues involving equal protection are at a much lower bar. I actually strongly disagree that it's a strong argument. I think it may be a strong political argument, and it may be a wish list for the governors of those states. But I remember the fight over Obamacare and Obama, you know, Obamacare. And that became an actual tax issue when it came down to the final issues before the U.S. Supreme Court. And that ended up being maintained. The challenges were rejected because there's such broad taxing powers. So I would be very surprised if this went anywhere. It looks in reading the article that people are interested in discovery and trying to find out, you know, how it got created and all those other things, which I don't think it'll ever get to that. I think it'll be dismissed at a level. So that's my guess. It's like guessing the Super Bowl, though. You never know. Mm-hmm. We don't know enough about it. But in general, you know, those kind of broad-based objections to tax legislation, they're rarely successful. Who knows? We'll see. But any thoughts, Tara? Do you have any feel for it? Because it's so hard. They don't even know what their specific arguments are. It looks like it's just something brewing. And obviously there's a financial impact, and that's causing distress in a lot of places, including Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey.
Well, I'll hold my thoughts until after the
break. We have no choice. There's a law around here, and when the music starts, we be quiet. So we'll be right back here. Sal Ferlazzo, Tara Moffitt with the Gervin and Ferlazzo Law Show.
Now, the most live, local talk with the Gervin and Ferlazzo Law Show.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome back, Tara.
Hello, Sal.
This is, we're halfway done with the Gervin and Ferlazzo Law Show edition of January 27, 2018. And we welcome your calls. The next half hour goes very quickly. So if you want to jump in, it's best to do it sooner so we can have more time to digest your question and give you an answer which can point you in the right direction. The number here, of course, is 518-476-1300. And if you have any questions, give us a call. We have Richard, I guess, already on the air, so let's put him up. Hello, Richard.
Hello there. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Here's a real-life situation. I'm just trying to sort it out for a friend, and, of course, I don't have the answers. I'd be happy to hear your opinions or thoughts on this. He recently hired as a maintenance fellow at a facility, and helped out one of the residents there with moving furniture. And she responded by providing him a dinner, inviting him to dinner. Well, apparently somebody saw all that and snitched on him, and he was called into the office and was reminded that there's a no socializing clause in his contract. And so I understand the rationale of what might be the management's rationale, but is that a reasonable restriction? And could that be cause for termination? And might he have a position if it were?
Well, termination in New York State is very easy to do. You know, we're basically a state. You're an employee at will. The general rule is that anybody can be terminated, anybody. Unless you have a long-term contract or unless somebody violates your legal rights, but even if they do, you still have to sue and win. So pretty much it's an employee at will. So is that a reasonable restriction? If it's an elderly, home or a residence and you don't want the maintenance people, you know, potentially, you know, hurting, you know, socialization can start and then all of a sudden things they grow in one way or the other. I think it makes enough sense that it would be difficult for them to say, no, I'm going to socialize anyway, and they may get fired. Now, if the resident, it was very pleasant of that person to give him a dinner, and if it's a one-shot deal, maybe he just explains to his boss that he did someone a favor and they were being nice. So I don't know, Richard, that it's, that there's case law on this, but Tara and I were chatting about the Michigan State fiasco, you know, over the break, and the terrible abuse and all the fallout that's going to occur and those kind of things. I mean, you know, something happens that you break a little rule. Nobody says anything. The next thing you know, it can grow into a worse situation. So it sounds like your friend is a nice person, helped somebody, got a dinner out of it. But if his terms of employment require a little distance, I can see the reasonableness of it. But, you know, it's not something that the law books are going to say you can or cannot do. But you can be fired for almost any reason unless it's discriminatory. So the burden is on the employee. So people come to us and say, I've been working here for 25 years. I've been a great employee. I got great recommendations, and they fired me. And that doesn't mean a thing. The term that you've been there and the length, from an emotional standpoint, from a fairness standpoint, yes. But the law is not fair. It's the law. And you can change the law. And as I told the students when I was teaching at St. Rose, I taught law and sports there for about 3 years. And basically, contract law can supersede New York state law. You can actually create a contract. So New York law is you're an employee at will. But if you have a contract that says I have a 2-year contract, I can't be fired except, quote, for a cause, which is you can define it yourself. Many times say if you're arrested or if you're filed bankruptcy, or there's other ways to define it. But if you can be smart enough to or lucky enough to get an employer to give you a long-term contract, now you have protections. Now you can do something.
Got it. Understood.
Okay.
Thank you,
Richard. Nice chatting. And thank you for calling for your friend. And your friend can call too. Tara, we get a lot of, you know, the office does, and I screen a lot of calls. There's many times, and our office number is 518-462-0300. We're on the web at www.girvin, law.com. It's funny how a lot of people misspell Girvin. And get Furlazzo perfectly right.
Well, I think that's something for Jay to contemplate. He's gonna start having spelling classes.
Well, people throw an E in there. They throw it in the first I or the second I, and it just, you know, I'm always, you know, referring, and if you do want to look us up, it's Girvin. We are happy to have Jay, and we're not going to make him change his letters. Now you're the coordinator of the call, so when we get him in, you got to tell me. So I don't know if we have anyone here or not. Let you chime in on the court challenge, potential challenge. We didn't hear your comments, so throw them out.
I'm with you in the fact that I think that the argument is not necessarily very strong. I agree that there's probably a fair amount of political motivation behind that. It's not that I don't disagree with the actions, but I don't know if we are going to be able to remedy it this way. I think that you're going to have a more grassroots movement to change the practices, or the state can make other adjustments to remedy the situation for tax holders.
Right. I've heard California say they wanted to have charitable contributions in lieu of taxes, which is a subterfuge which will be knocked out by the IRS in about 6 seconds, because I think the hallmark of a charitable contribution is you're not required to give it. So, and I don't think the states are going to start saying, even California, that, well, you can pay your taxes if you want to, because I don't think anyone's going to. I think a tax is more of a forced item on people. And, the best way to handle these kind of challenges is in the ballot box, is, you know, just elect new people if you don't like what's going on. That's the way to handle it on the federal or state level. The law has restrictions there, there's checks and balances. And one of the things courts do, I worked for the state's highest court back in the early 80s. They will defer to legislative action as long as it's not unconstitutional or not illegal. So the burden, folks, is on the challenger in every case. And that's just something you should know. But more importantly, we have callers, 476-1300, 518-476-1300. Who's next?
I don't have the name, but I look forward to the exciting.
Anonymous? Okay.
The exciting anonymous caller.
Wow. Let's pick Socrates. Hello, Socrates. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Am I Socrates?
We don't have a name for you, so I had to throw something out, but you can be nameless. Go ahead. What's your question today, ma'am?
Oh, I came in as a happy customer.
Oh, good.
I was gonna be an anonymous happy customer.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Fill us in. We'd love to hear it.
Okay, sure. Well, I just wanted to call and say how relieved and happy I am that I was able to have my case referred to you guys from a personal injury accident, and what a wonderful job your entire office did helping me and getting me through the personal injury accident with an outstanding outcome.
Well, I want to thank you. I recognize the voice, and we really enjoyed working with you. And it was like all personal injury cases. There's a, and why don't you explain if you could, anonymous caller, what it's like to be part of a case. It's not easy. I think too many people, they see these TV commercials and they think personal injury is a big lottery and everybody just sits there and just, you know, jumps into money and plays with it. It's very stressful and there's a lot of work that goes involved. Why don't you explain your perspective as a personal injury victim?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say stress covers it appropriately. It was devastating and very terrific and horrifying for me. I mean, just going through the physical injuries and the mental and emotional injuries on top of that and not knowing when I would be able to walk and then each progressive stage. And I really appreciated that you guys waited with me throughout collecting all of the different doctor's offices that I had to attend and all of the paperwork, follow-ups and the exams. It was great knowing that you guys were behind me 100% throughout the entire tedious course of trying to get treatment.
Well, and I remember your case is a combination of personal injury, you know, court issues, and then mediation, which ended up being successful. And it's really a great tool because, you know, you do all the preparation work, you know, you show up and you do a lot of things, but then you're able to get a mediator, which is a mini judge without a robe, who sits down in a private office and gives the pros and cons to both sides. And many times to avoid the expense of going forward, both paying for medical doctors on the plaintiff side or all the expenses of attorneys and all on the defendant side, there's a resolution as we had with you, which, you know, we were all pleased with. So, well, I want to thank you for calling and now I understand why you want to be anonymous and, we can still call you Socrates when you come into the office if you ever do.
Perfect.
So, thank you for the call. That was nice. Someone that Tara and I both know very well and, it's great to have happy clients. In my interview yesterday, one of the young people said, "Oh, you have 5 stars on something," and I don't know what it is, but I guess that's really important for. I know the young generation; they really do look at these reviews very carefully, and it's important. And we do have a lot of nice credentials. Several of us are super lawyers, which is a designation that we get from. Just a independent, neutral company that, I guess, designates people as super lawyers. And doesn't mean that you're super in every case.
I do wish it came with a cape, though.
I've enjoyed being a super lawyer. It's just a nice designation. And you know, there are a lot of super lawyers in the area. I'm not the only one. There's many, many. But I guess it's 5% of the legal public. So it's kind of a nice thing. And since we're chatting about personal injury, I wanted to throw something that Mike Connors had mentioned back on the table. I'd mentioned when my son is going to be working on the Allstate issues under his agency for Allstate, there's underinsurance, and he added the concept no fault, additional no fault. When you get hit with a vehicle, folks, you have $50,000 of no fault. Your insurance company will cover you to that point. You can add, by paying a very small amount, and I mean peanuts, additional no-fault coverage. So many accidents, in the old days, $50,000 was a lot of money. But if you're in the hospital for a week, it's gone. You remember the case we just talked about. There was a airlift situation, yeah. And that was
$46,000.
$46,000. So you have just exhausted your you know, no-fault benefits.
And that's not with even with treatment.
That's just getting into the hospital. That was
your timely arrival.
So Mike's point, and I know my son Don's going to push this on everybody because it's really to their benefit. And you hate to tell people, hey, spend a few extra dollars and you're going to benefit. But by doing so, by doubling your no-fault availability, and in the case we just took in this week, a major case in the community, the person did have additional no-fault. Again, they were smart enough to buy the extra money for that and for supplemental underinsurance. So, again, if somebody hits you and they have the minimum, and that's what most people get. They go to you know, some place, they dial whatever the 800 number is, and they get, give me the minimum. And they're allowed to drive just as you and I are, and Tara and Gideon and everybody. And that's a recipe for disaster because you know they're out there. You know that 90% of the public has the minimum. So protect yourself with what's called supplemental underinsured. Talk to your agent. Bug your agent because it's not a big ticket item. But you can save a lot of money. And while you're there, if you have a house, don't forget umbrella insurance.
Absolutely.
Another cheap, inexpensive way. And they're so cheap, folks, that I don't know that the insurance companies push them hard enough, because I don't know that there's a big profit margin there. So these are inexpensive things you can do. Umbrellas, you know, can cost hundreds of dollars, not thousands. But they put an umbrella over your car and your house. So if you are sued for an accident or some incident, then you have that protection. What's even better, people don't realize this, when you give your car to your kid and your kid gives your car to some other kid to and they go and get beer and somebody gets hurt in an accident, you are responsible. Your personal assets are subject to responsibility, and you can go bankrupt because of that incident that you had no control over, but because you, quote, consented to give the car to your child without any restrictions, and that your child consented to do that, you're stuck. And so it's crazy. Don't you can avoid that with under insurance. If you are hit, additional no fault, if you're injured. But if the other side is injured with a umbrella, it's just a no-brainer.
Yeah, and actually some of the umbrella coverage also now is including some of identity theft issues. And since that is such a common common issue that we're all very worried about, since, you know, people are very crafty at hacking, getting information and misusing it, you know, you may want to look in and identify those policies, whether they're within the umbrella or a supplemental policy, because identity theft and the cost of identity theft has been enormous, even when you are able to establish the fact, because you're going to be spending a lot of time adjusting credit rating reports, making sure that you're doing ongoing reviews and investigations, and you have to monitor your credit for the rest of your life. So think about those things when you decide what level of insurance coverage you need.
Yeah. So we're not insurance agents, but we've been pushing insurance since 2001 because it's the least expensive way to protect yourself. And the sad part is we'll get people come in who are really injured, who have, you know, a couple of kids and they can't work for a long time, and they're just sitting there and their bills are piling up. And the other side has the minimum. And I say, well, do you have underinsured? Well, what is underinsured? I never heard of that. No one ever explained that to me. And the ones that most people don't have it. And it's always sad to say to someone, well, you can have all the injuries in the world, but if you're, you can collect $25,000. And they go, well, let's go after the person individually. And we'll say fine. But, the person who hits you can just file for bankruptcy. And then it's gone. You're stuck. An auto accident is not going to prevent somebody from going bankrupt. So just, think of the odds. If you're playing odds, the odds are you're going to be hit by someone who has inadequate insurance. So how do you cover that? Just when you get your own insurance, just happen to say, yeah, give me that extra provision. Even if it's $100,000 or $250,000, it's minimal coverage. And I'll learn and find out exactly what it costs, and I'll report so people can just understand. It may just be, let's not go to dinner this Friday and protect ourselves for a whole year. So, yeah, that makes sense. Or let's not buy a new iPhone, and you can probably buy 10 umbrellas for the cost of an iPhone, which is really critical, as we know, but not as critical as you think. So this is the Gervin and Ferlazzo Law Show. Sal Ferlazzo, Tara Moffitt. Tara is, and I are partners, and we've been working together for many years, and you've got your finger up. Does that mean
we have another call?
Well, let's maybe finish up with this one, because I think we're getting
We are getting close, but we can still fit her in. We have Kathy from Colony.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Along the same lines of thanking you, I thought I would also call and express my gratitude. I used your law firm. Tara was my lawyer. It was the most excellent, non-stressful experience. Unfortunately,
wow,
it was a long waiting period because it was a disability case.
Yeah.
But, yes.
She or your office, you took care of everything. They did all the calls, got all the information from the doctors, all the paperwork. I basically just forgot about it, to be honest with you. And then when it came time, to testify in front of the judge, it really was not a stressful experience, you know. It's just, and you're right, she's an encyclopedia. That woman can cite things I've never heard of, you know. It's just,
most people look at books, and she just just says it.
She's a walking book.
She is a walking, as I said, she's a real encyclopedia, and, right. of information. It's fun to watch because you ask her a question and you get this answer and you kind of look at her and go, wow, that's a lot of information. In three breaths.
She's so pleasant. She has a nice personality. And just so you know, audience out there, nobody's paying me to say this. I just want to express my gratitude. It really was a good experience working with all of you.
Well, Kathy, we appreciate the call.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. So, thank you very much. And Tara, thank you for being so pleasant to the clients and having them make a call like that. That's very refreshing. We're going to have to, put this show on our Hall of Fame here. We've had two compliments and we appreciate the compliments, folks. Lawyers work very hard and we take it very seriously. I mean, Tara, you do. You get a client and you're just gonna fight to the end and it's exhausting and there's times you don't even see what we do and you wonder, and most people wonder, like, what are my lawyers doing? And some are working hard and some are not. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I've known Tara for years and I have trouble getting into her office sometimes. She's on the phone, her back is to the door. I gotta bang away and blow up a firecracker or something, get her attention because she's so focused on those calls, and helping people, which is wonderful. That's our theme at Gervin and Fralazzo. We're not like LA Law where we sit around the, conference room and have coffee and just, you know, spend the whole morning, you know, checking our makeup and our hairdo. If I had hair, I probably would, but I don't have enough to do that. So, it is, more work than glamour. Although it is fun to be in court, and it's really fun to call up a client and say, hey, we won. That's just
absolutely
so much fun.
I think that, you know, and I appreciate the calls and the thanks, but it also is an honor to serve our clients, that if we are able to assist them in a difficult time and get them an outcome that can, you know, maintain their standard of living, ensure that they have the resources to continue, to, you know, try to recover and take care of themselves and take care of their families. You know, that's why we work as hard as we do. We want them to have the outcome that's going to allow them peace of mind.
So, if you want peace of mind, you can go to a yoga class or meditation or something, or you can come to Gervin and Fralazzo and we will do whatever we can do, to help you, because most people, and I'll say this, I must, screen at least 10 to 15 cases a week because people call, hey, you know, do I have a case? Do I not? So I say, how are you doing? And they ask me, you know, how I'm doing. I'm doing fine. And how are you? And it's always the same, you know, could be better. I mean, mm-hmm. they're calling us because they're in stress or distress, and we're there kind of a safety boat or a life preserver to try to pull them out of the water, calm them down, make them understand that it will get better, and it will get better, and to kind of guide them to where they need to be. So if you have a serious issue, you know, we do a lot of discrimination through Tara and personal injury through me, commercial litigation as well. We do a lot of commercial litigation. And that can be stressful because we represent a lot of small businesses and this is, you know, their life. They've got to be careful with insurance too, to
Absolutely.
Make sure that they're properly insured and they have, the right systems in place. And a lot of labor law. I know, recently I've been involved and I've been chatting with Jay and Ryan Mullahy and James Gervin and a lot of the people in the labor and education group. And it's a tricky world. And you've got to, be trained properly, because the, you know, companies can be responsible for actions of their employees if they tolerate them and they allow a hostile work environment. And that's can be stopped very easily by having the proper, you know, procedures in place and the training in place. And when something goes on, just like at Michigan State University, when complaints are made, you can't ignore them. You have to address them. And when you don't address them and it goes on and it becomes institutionalized of just ignoring what are obvious, significant issues, there can be both criminal and civil.
Absolutely.
And I think you're going to see some, you know, a lot more than the Dr. Nassar, criminal, case in Michigan State. And you'll see more civil suits than you can imagine. And there should be. I mean, the purpose of a lawsuit is twofold. And it's to get, you know, compensation back that you've lost. And it's also to punish, you know, punish people to the point where they are just not going to do it again. And other people who see that and say, hey, I can't get away with that. I can't get away with, you know, hurting, Gideon and not taking great care of him and treating him like, you know, he should be. How you doing over there, Gideon?
Who would hurt me?
We gotta hear your voice. You know, it's always, you have a wonderful voice.
He has a radio voice. He does.
You do. And Daryl does too. And it just, you know, everybody here, you know, has a great voice. My wife has been quiet the whole time, has a nice voice, but you want to say hello to the folks? No, she won't say hello to the folks. So people are going to think it's an imaginary person, but Tara can vouch that you are sitting here.
And I can't.
And she looks lovely too.
And everybody is ready to go. So this is a special show. I think I've had other family members. I know Pat Fitzgerald, when his kids were very young, sat in the corner in the back, and he had them all quiet. And now they're all grown up and in colleges and things. So it's funny how time flies. And time flies today. We only have a minute to go or so, Gideon.
Not even
a minute. So,
oh my goodness,
there's the music. Tara, thank you.
Thank you, Sal. What a wonderful weekend.
And Gideon, it's great to see you. And my quiet wife, Donna, thank you for coming and observing. Folks, this is the Governor for Laza Law Show. We'd love to have you, and we'll see you next week here on Talk 1300.
This is WGDJ Rensselaer and W254DA Albany, the Capital District's Talk Radio on Talk 1300 and 98.7 FM.